in a gated community?
You see, I think one of the reasons why I don't even want us to have a discussion like that is because ultimately the South Africa I dream about is a South Africa not of assimilation, which is what we have right now, but total transformation. So that hearing a chicken being slaughtered does not scare you, but it's within the rules of, you know, whatever you may feel in that particular space where you live. Because I think that to then say, you know, you're going to go elokshini or you're going to go to the homestead is problematic, because once again it's isolating a huge part of your life from your neighbors who are meant to know you. I guess the idea is to say, how do we move forward and have these traditional ceremonies in these houses without it being dangerous or very awkward as it is right now. I mean, it's still, I mean, 20 years later, Shato, to slaughter a chicken, I mean, you need to send something to your neighbors and you know, warn them in advance, you know. But you wouldn't even dream of a goat. I mean, a chicken, I think, is it. Like, I think a goat would be a step too far, maybe 50 years from now.
Well, do you think then if we all spoke in an African language, which is what you deal with, Zulu, s'il vous plaît. Yeah. Zulu, please. Oui. Yeah, oui. Do you think then, you know, learning more about each other's cultures, the language issue would then open us up to learn? And, you know, sadly, though, we know a lot. And when I say we as black people have gone over the fence to find out a lot more about the different cultures of the people that live in our country. We know a bit more than they know about us.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem, Shato, is that black people in South Africa have not held white people accountable and just said, listen, why don't you know an African language, you know? Explain to me, are you not interested? Or because maybe it could get to the heart of why it's not happening. Because one of the reasons why this perception of black people gossip is because there is no language understanding. And once you take that out, you can easily communicate with the next person, you know. And there isn't this assumption when you're black that you know you can gossip about a person because anybody would know your language. I think what we try to do is to say, oh, we understand you guys were isolated. Well, we're not isolated anymore. Now you have an opportunity. I think English is the preferred business language. We'll always speak English. But I think just out of showing interest in your countrymen in where you are, just learn. I mean, even if you're not learning, maybe teach your kids. And ultimately, we will speak English. I mean, you and I are two black women are speaking English. But it's just about showing me that you care about me. Language is about saying, I care about you. I'm interested in you.
But people are learning Mandarin and, you know, they're adding other languages to
Espanol. But now, when you are in Deep Sloot, how is the Mandarin exactly going to help you in this particular case? You know, I mean, and when are you going to get to use it 2 years later? Like, you know, these are the things. That's why I'm saying, why would you learn that? Why would you learn Italian if you're learning it along with Cosa? Fabulous. If you're learning with a Zulu, great. But you know Japanese and you do.
But we're to blame though, Lerato, because when I pronounce an English word wrong, then Twitter streets are all about me, you know, and we criticize each other so badly for getting the wrong pronunciation, even if the sense is right. And yet, when people speak, you mentioned Sepp Blatter, we all hung on to every word because we understood and no one was criticizing the fact that he doesn't speak English in an accent, an English accent. So we need to fix things there.
We do, and that's why I call out black people first, because my experience is that of a black person, and I have also been complicit in perpetuating exactly the same things, laughing at people. And in a way, that's why I'm saying we have to fix ourselves first. People think, oh no, you know, force everybody to learn Zulu. No, it's not about that. It's about you not laughing at somebody who says hat when they mean to say hurt. Mm. Because they're using, you know, that's their accent. And also, I think we need to be very careful of making fun of people who are using the rules of their language to communicate in another language. It would happen no matter where you are, whether you're using French or whether you're using Zulu. It's the rules of your language to make sense of somebody else's language. That has nothing to do with intellect. That has to do with what are you used to speaking. But it's about us as black people. We need to fix it first.
So you give us advice on our reality checks.
Okay.
I mean, where do you find this advice, firstly?
Oh gosh, I just sit in that. When I was writing that chapter, I just thought, how do I say to black, to colored people in Cape Town that Grassy Park is as equally a township as Soweto? You know, and how do I get us all together to understand that these are cages that were built for us that we didn't want to be in, and that actually there's nothing wrong with wanting to come out of there without, for wanting not to be there. And the best way to get people's attention is to say, stop thinking you're better. So I literally used my mind, and the South Africa that I envisioned, the kind of place that I was hoping we were. And I think we were headed there, don't you think, Shadow? At some point,
I think
we
there
were
was
headed there.
Kumbaya, we were going, you know, and hopefully we were going to get there. But I don't think we're in that same space at the moment.
Nope. No, we're not. And that's why I wanted to use humor and satire as a way to diffuse the situation. To say, listen, it's awkward for all of us. You know, the crime is awkward for all of us. And taxi drivers are irritating for everybody. It doesn't feel better just because a person is brown like you. And while while you're laughing and while you're thinking of your life and your own stereotypes, you then get to think, oh, I didn't see it that way, or maybe I could change that about myself. And I think if you change somebody's mind, you're on your way to doing something really significant. And that's what I'm hoping to do with the way I see it.
Lerato, please tell me you didn't do all the things you wrote about, like shaving and your legs, for instance, and shaving other parts of you.
I wish it was a lie. My mother said to me, I'm so glad your father wasn't here to read about you landscaping your nether regions. I said to her, well, you know what, so am I. I could not expose us to South Africa without exposing myself. And
but this is all about the pressure of beauty, right? Or being accepted.
Yes, of relaxing your hair because it looks neat, shaving your legs for whatever reason. And I qualify for people because people have often said to me, shaving legs is a white woman thing. And I said, wait until you are light-skinned and you sit in front of a taxi driver with a short skirt and your hair is
Mabebeza.
Can I tell you something? You will find a blade and you will make sure that you shave, which is exactly what happened to me. So sometimes people think that, you know, your decisions are white, you're including your likes, if you like certain food, you're white. But it's just your environment. We mustn't forget that. Sometimes it's just who you are.
Do you know, I like the way you ended the book, and I'm touching on bits and pieces because I want everyone to go and get the book, but we're running out of time. But I really applaud you for bringing us home in a very sober way about being an African at the end of the book, which is a reference to the xenophobic attacks we've had and how we should appreciate people from the rest of the continent.
Yeah, you know, I think the sad part is that South Africa is seen as the United States of Africa. We do not feel the need to go, and when I say, obviously I'm saying generalizations, because this is not everybody. But in general, we are perceived to not want to go and see other places on the continent. In fact, we even talk about the continent like we're an island outside of it. And that is how we are viewed by African brothers and sisters. But we must not forget, we were one of the last nations, if not the last nation, to, you know, to sort of gain independence or come out of an oppressive political system. So all these other countries helped us. You know, Angola helped us, Zambia helped us. And for us to now feel like we're not part of the community and to be dismissive and horrible to our brothers and sisters is just sad.
Yeah, very sad. And you ended, of course, with Thabo Mbeki's I'm an African poem that he wrote. Listen, how was your rugby game? It was your first, hey?
It was my first rugby game, yes. I'm now I'm a rugby girlfriend. So he said to me, he's a close boy from the Eastern Cape. He was like, listen, we have to go to a game. And he was watching me and I had fun. The Lions won. It was great. I got into it. I think I'm sold.
So you're no longer single?
No. Oh gosh, I think I just said it out. Oh no. You see, Shadow, I have no filter. Oh no. Oh no, I trust you too much. I didn't even realize what I was doing.
I love you lots. Thank you so much for joining us. It was a fantastic book, and I'm looking forward to your next one.
Thank you so much. I love you, man. I'm so honored.
Give my love to your mom. She's a brave woman.
Thank you,
Shadow. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. The Way I See It is what it's called, The Musings of a Black Woman in the Rainbow Nation, Lerato Shabalala. Somewhat serious, somewhat fun, and it comes with a warning. Guaranteed to offend and not for the faint-hearted. Get it at any good bookstore should have it. Lerato Shabalala, The Way I See It. It is now time, and when we come back... The Queen of Zulu Comedy, Celeste Ntuli, who also highlights some of the issues about black tax, the subject of her show coming to a theatre near you.